football on Off the Ball.
It was ferocious, incredible. The intensity from the stands just transmitted itself onto the pitch, and the city couldn't breathe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, we talk to Ciara Caruso and Megan Connolly after a heartbreaking night for Ireland, Wales manager Rhiann Wilkinson on going to war with the girls in green, and Pep Guardiola remains uncertain over whether Manchester City's period of dominance is at an end. But first, there was heartbreak for Ireland despite a late cavalry charge at the Aviva Stadium last night. 5 minutes after the break, Hannah Kane converted a penalty for Wales after VAR uncovered the ball striking the arm of Ireland defender Anna Patton. Wales doubled their lead 17 minutes later through substitute Carrie Jones. Patton headed Ireland back into the game 4 minutes from time, but despite the frequent havoc brought about from Megan Campbell's long throws, Eileen Gleeson's side couldn't force extra time. Instead, Wales will be in pot four for the draw on December the 16th in Lausanne for next summer's Euros in Switzerland. After the game, Off the Ball's Kathleen McNamee caught up with dejected Ireland midfielder Megan Connolly.
Yeah, difficult. Everyone is devastated. There's not much words being said, so it's quite hard to process. I think we came into these two legs quite a strong squad, and we backed ourselves, and I think we had all the tools to get over the line, and unfortunately we couldn't, and we need to reflect on that and see what we can do and be better. Credit to Wales, they got the win, and best of luck.
What was that experience like for you, watching the first part of the match and then getting on the pitch?
Yeah, obviously it's always nice to get on the pitch and try and make an impact. Look, we're a good group together, we're a good squad that will always back each other, and I think the first half we were strong. Would have been nice to get a goal before the half time. I think we had a chance, as I think we had a bit more of the pressure on them, and then obviously the second half they get the penalty and they get the goal against the runner play, and then it's always difficult to come back from that. But we kept pushing and the players that came on, obviously Meg Campbell, she's always a weapon to keep putting the pressure on them, and we got joy of it, but obviously the corners and the throw-ins, and yeah, it was just a little too late for us to try get another.
Ciara Caruso was among those left to rue a host of wasted chances during the first half of last night's second leg.
You sit here and you think back on a lot of different things, but ultimately, like, the balls, you know, in front of the net or opportunities like that. I mean, the set pieces we get, the posts we hit, the just missed opportunity, like, those run through the back of your head over and over again, and but again, like I said, football is fickle like that. Like, you have one opportunity and you put in the back of the net and that ends a scoreline, rather than, I mean, you can put the ball in front of the net as many times as possible, but if it's not in the back of the net, it's not in the back of the net.
Ciara, what were the coaches saying to the team at the end there, because it's tough for everyone?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing for them, again, like, with facing us, is to remind us that, like, these moments are difficult, and you can accept the fact that this is not what we wanted and it's not what we would want out of this, but at the same time, that there is always forward, there's always the next day, there's always tomorrow, and that doesn't stop what, you know, the momentum and what this team is doing and what is to come. I think about losing in Ukraine and how devastating and just heartbreaking that was, and it felt like it could never happen, but it did. Again, football can be like that, but ultimately we move forward and we, you know, come around and do the accomplishment of the greatest things that we've ever done. So it's to remind us of that, but it's hard to accept in this moment. Yeah,
are you able to take some time now for yourself to kind of get over what had happened and process it, and then hopefully come back again bigger, better next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. It truly is the only thing you can control at this point. And I'd say right now it's a really difficult thing to imagine doing, but knowing that ultimately, like, as a professional in this game, like, it's what you do every time. So, yeah.
Ireland boss Eileen Gleeson claimed after the game there was a lot of provocation from the Wales bench. Her counterpart Rhiann Wilkinson says Wales were prepared to go into the trenches last night.
We matched them at their game, and their game is a physical game, it's a direct game, it's picking up scraps, and this is a good Irish team, and we had to match them at that and then find a way to play a bit of Welsh football. And we still, it was tough, it was one of those patchy games, we really rarely got a flow. but we matched them. And we said that it doesn't matter how we win and whether we have to get in the ring with them and have a old-fashioned dust-up or whether we have to figure out a way to get the ball wide or get the ball in the box and find that second phase play. It doesn't matter in the end. We just have to find a way to win, and that's what we did. I got one player with a missing tooth. I got bloodied players. I'm not very popular with the Irish staff right now, but in the end, that's what we saw out there is two teams who gave everything, and it was a battle, and that's because it means so much to their countries. So, I mean, for both groups, and I've said it from the beginning, it was a game, of course, to make history for both groups for qualifying for Euros, but even more, it was about legacy. And I really would like to give a giant thank you to the amazing fans who came out tonight to support women's football. They were wonderful tonight, incredible atmosphere.
However, Wilkinson refuted claims that her bench provoked their hosts.
You know, this is, it's hard to, I no, I don't think, I think it was a battle. And when a battle, when it's very physical on the field, when there's yellow cards, when you see kind of that play that's right on the edge, you know, the benches have a lot of stress as well, and it does, you know, boil up every now and then. I think there's always some words occasionally. A team has to win and a team has to lose, and there's high emotions, but I also think that's football. Huge credit to Eileen and what she's done with that team. Huge credit to the Irish team. They left nothing out there tonight, and sometimes football is a matter of fate and a matter of a bounce of a ball, and that was what it was tonight. The ball bounced our way at a critical moment, and that's all that was between the two teams today.
Another thing after the game last night, Eileen Gleeson refused to be drawn on her future. She's out of contract now after last night's match. Post-match on television last night, former Ireland international Karen Duggan says more needs to be done to bridge the quality gap between domestic-based players and those playing abroad. Duggan highlighted the lack of an under-23 side and also the lack of training sessions for domestic players. It was a point echoed last night on Off the Ball by Hibs and Ireland midfielder Ciara Grant.
It's not good enough that we don't have a 23s team. You know, there's girls on my team at Hibs here who've been away, I think, on four international camps over the last 12, 15 months with their 23s, playing teams like Denmark, Belgium, the Dutch as well. And, you know, they're great games. They're also, there's a huge jump from, you know, back when I was leaving, say, under 18s up to senior, it was quite an easy transition, whereas it's not now. So these girls need to continue to play regular football, but also continue to grow and develop and play against good competition. So really it's improving the standards of the underage league so that the girls, once they leave under 19s, the transition is much easier and they can jump up. But we do need that 23s international level. There's a lot of girls in and around the periphery of the Irish teams that could really benefit, and especially girls under 19 internationals that leave and then might not see an international stage for the next 3-4 years. It also means the FAI can keep an eye on them, even if they're abroad, no matter where they are. They can get them in, teach them the philosophy or whatever the senior women's team is working on, so that these girls, if they get their chance to go into the senior women's team, are ready. Because with international football, you only get a short period of time with your players, and if girls are coming from very different backgrounds and not up to scratch, they might not make it, or they might not even be able to benefit the training, never mind get on the pitch. But I do think we're playing catch up, and, you know, we really do need to learn from the best. And is that some of the European teams? Is that the English structure? Yes, and unfortunately, all that does come with money, paid coaches, coach education, and, you know, from underage right down from under 8s, under 10s, under 12s, what are we teaching the kids? What are we focusing on? Is that ball skill initially, and then do we progress on to more tactical awareness? You know, that's way above my knowledge at the moment, but I do think, even now, I get jealous when I see some of the 17-year-olds coming up training with us, and I'm like, whoa, like, their technical ability, knowledge is miles ahead of where I was at 16. And I know the Irish girls are getting there, but we still, there's so much more we need to do.
Elsewhere last night, Norway confirmed their place in this month's draw by beating Northern Ireland 3-0 in Oslo, a 7-0 win over the two legs. Scotland also missed out in the finals, going down 2-0 away to Finland, who won the tie by the same scoreline. Julen Lopetegui says he's not thinking about losing his job as West Ham manager. Last night's 3-1 defeat away to Leicester means they've lost 4 of their last 7 in the league. Names like Sergio Conceição and Edin Terzic have been linked with the Hammers' job in recent weeks. But Lopetegui remains adamant West Ham can improve under him in the second half of this season.
I repeat, I am confident that tomorrow we are going to be ready to prepare the next match. Understanding your question, understanding the things, but understanding that in the end of the season, maybe we have to look another way. There are a lot of matches in front of us, a lot of points, a lot of things that happened, and I enabled, I repeat, I believe in these players, I believe in the team, and I am sure that the second part of the season there is going to be much better. But to talk about now about this, they are only worse, so we have to work a lot to achieve this.
Jean-Philippe Mateta's goal just before the hour mark at Portman Road saw Crystal Palace win a Premier League game for just the second time this season. A 1-0 win lifted Oliver Glasner's side 3 points above the relegation zone. However, Mark Gahey could be hearing from the FA today after he ignored the directive not to display religious messages. When the Rainbow Laces week began, Gahey had written, "I love Jesus" on his rainbow-coloured captain's armband. Despite that FA warning, Gahey last night had "Jesus loves you" written on the armband. Oliver Glasner said he hadn't heard from the FA regarding the matter, but did offer his support of his captain.
Oh yes, we respect every single player, and especially Mark as our captain. So Mark had a fantastic game today, and I think everybody who knows him, Mark is a fantastic player. He's a great guy, very humble, and I think we shouldn't make it bigger than it is. Keep it calm. He's very respectful to everyone in the club. And I think we all in football, we are all against discrimination, against abuse, every single part. And so this was a great campaign, and I think that's it.
Ipswich captain Sam Morsy once again opted against wearing the rainbow armband, citing religious belief. Some have accused Morsy of hypocrisy, given that gambling is banned in Islam, but he's worn the logos of betting firms on previous jerseys. Morsy too has the backing of his manager, Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, I think in line with what the club statement said, to be honest, we want to be a inclusive club. The club are working really, really hard on that within the club and within the playing group. There's a lot of good work being done, and we want to continue that work. But at the same time, the club has respected Sammy's individual decision based on his religious beliefs, and I think that's, you know, a fair assessment.
Pep Guardiola admits he doesn't know if his Manchester City empire is crumbling. They've lost 6 of the last 7 ahead of tonight's visit of Nottingham Forest to the Etihad. While confident he can get things right once again, Guardiola concedes that Father Time may have other ideas.
I cannot answer this question because I don't know. We will try to extend as much as possible. Still, I said we are in November, many, many competitions to play still, many games in the Premier League to play, a lot of things still. So when it's going to finish, but when we were in the 2-3 years ago, when we were celebrating the treble or the quadruple or whatever, I said, it's going to finish, it's going to end. But to try to continue to push my players, and the players respond unbelievably well. And this season, for many, again, little circumstances that is not necessary to announce, so everything drop and everything, and the rise in the opponents, but you know, we start really well in terms of results. We were stable in many, many things, but at the end we are not, and have to continue. If it's at the end or not, the time will dictate. We'll see.
One of 6 games in a busy night of Premier League action. League leaders Liverpool, who are 9 points clear at the top, are away to Newcastle. That's 1 of 4 matches at 7:30. The City game also underway at the same time. Elsewhere, Chelsea are away to bottom side Southampton. And big game at the bottom end at Goodison Park with Everton at home to fellow strugglers Wolves. 8:15. Aston Villa host Brentford, and the game of the night is at the Emirates. It's Arsenal against Manchester United. We know that Luke Shaw won't be involved for United after yet another injury setback. The England fullback has made just 3 substitute appearances this season. He posted on social media he's devastated and that this has been his toughest period. Club sources say the injury is a new one rather than a recurrence of a previous injury. There's a meeting of the top 2 in the Scottish Premiership tonight as well. Leaders Celtic are away to second place Aberdeen. That one starts at 8. Rangers host Kilmarnock from 7:45. Personal terms stand between Shamrock Rovers and the signing of Ed McGinty. The goalkeeper was an ever-present last season for Sligo Rovers, having returned to the club on loan from Oxford. According to The Independent, Shamrock Rovers have a deal agreed in principle to sign the 25-year-old, fending off interest from Sligo. Meanwhile, the Tallaght club are also exploring the possibility of signing former Bohemians winger Danny Grant. He was released by Bowes at the end of the season, having failed to recapture the form of his first stint before an injury-plagued move to Huddersfield. James Talbot says his Bohemians teammates need to demand more and be more consistent. The goalkeeper will spend a 7th season at the Phibsborough club, despite falling behind Kacper Czaratska in the pecking order. Talbot had been linked with a move to Waterford under former manager Keith Long, but having spoken to current Bowes boss Alan Reynolds, the 27-year-old says it's all systems go to re-sign. He stepped back from first-team duties before the start of last season to deal with mental health issues and has thanked the club and its fans for their support during that time away. And St Pat's recruitment drive continues with the capture of Barry Bagley from Fleetwood Town. The right-sided midfielder provided 3 assists during a loan spell at Fleetwood's sister club Waterford. 22-year-old Bagley has signed a long-term deal with the Saints.